All right, well, I'm going to get situated here, and I am very thankful to have been invited by Pastor Bill, and I'm very thankful that you have come and you've chosen to be faithful and show up. So that's great. Good job, everybody. And I want to give greetings from the faculty and the students of Gateway Seminary. I'm a vice president, professor at Gateway. Gateway recently moved to Ontario, California. So there's my plug. If anybody's interested in seminary, come and talk to me. But thank you, because when you contribute to a Southern Baptist church, a portion of your gifts and offerings goes to the cooperative program, and it funds things like missions, disaster relief, ethics, pro-life things, and also theological education at the 6 Southern Baptist seminaries. So all that to say, when you are faithful to give of your tithes and offerings, it has an impact far and beyond what you know. And I represent one of the arms of that impact. And on behalf of the students, you're affecting through your faithful giving and your generosity. I just want to say thank you. And it's an honor to be here. So Pastor Bill asked if I would come and speak on honoring God with your body. Honoring God with your body. Honoring God in everything we do. And I understand that you guys have been doing a series called Blue Zones. Is that right? All right. So we're in one of the Blue Zones, honoring God with your body. And I suspect that when you hear that somebody's going to be preaching on honoring God with your body, there might be a little bit of a reaction, like hearing that the pastor's preaching on tithing or something. Like, oh boy, my car might break down on the way to church, or I might not be able to show up this Sunday. Because, you know, nobody wants to show up and just leave feeling discouraged. And I just want you to know, that's not my goal. I just want you to know, my goal is not to shame anybody. It's not to make anyone feel self-conscious. It's not to recommend like a specific workout. I'm not here selling any like miracle nutritional stuff. I'm not here promoting any fads or anything like that. So let me just put your mind at ease. And I'm not here as somebody who's figured it all out, and just telling you how to do it all. It's not my goal. So what is my goal? My goal is to provide for us in the 30 minutes that I have a theological framework that you can understand, and then from that framework, God can lead and convict you in the ways that you need to be led and convicted. So that theological framework becomes the basis for a conversation between husbands and wives, parents and children, you as brothers and sisters of this church. So this isn't the end of a conversation. This is really kind of the beginning. And the way I want to go about this is, the goal is to figure out how we can glorify God with our bodies. And I want to go about that by asking and then answering 4 questions, okay? So sort of structured that way, all right? I'm going to ask, and then we're going to look at how God's Word answers 4 questions, right? And these are the questions. The first question is, what does it mean to honor God with my body? Right? That's the what. What does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, it's important to know what we're talking about before we talk about it. So what does that mean? Number 2, why should you honor God with your body? Why should you do it? I mean, you might understand what it means, but then, you know, you might just have a good, healthy dose of skepticism like me and just go, well, why should I do it? Number 3, how do I honor God with my body? How do you do that? So let's just assume that we understand what it means. Let's assume that we know why we should do it. How do we do it? And lastly, number 4, where should I expect to see benefits? If you will commit to honoring God with your body, where should you expect to see benefits? So those are the what, why, how, and where questions. And we're going to take these one at a time. And I, just to let you know up front, my commitment is to preach the Word of God. So have a Bible handy or phone, you know, so you can follow along. We're going to look at some Bible verses, and I think they're going to be on the screen in just a minute here, but one after another. But I just want to encourage you to have your Bibles so we can look into God's Word together. So before we ask the first question, let me just offer my own prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've been given. Thank you for the people you've brought into this room. God, we know that you are providentially orchestrating all events. So, Lord, the topic, the time, the day, the people, everything is right now as it is, as it should be according to your will. And we rest in that. We thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you'd prepare your people to receive this message in a spirit of encouragement, in a spirit of love. And I pray, Lord, that above all, they would know that you love them because of who Jesus is and what he did. It is never earned, and we do not deserve it. So thank you, Father, for your persistent, radical love. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so question number one. What does it mean to honor God with my body? Well, to answer this, I want us to look at Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13. We're going to look at this together, and I think it's going to come up on the screens here. But Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and you might have read Romans, and Romans is a heavy book. I mean theologically, it's deep. If Romans were a mountain, it would be Mount Everest. All right, it's challenging. But one of the things about Romans is that it shows us that doctrine has practical implications for life. So God never intends for you to just have this big head full of doctrine. He intends for that doctrine to be lived out in very practical ways. And one of the practical ways we live out doctrine is through how we honor God with our bodies. So Romans 6:13, I'm just going to go ahead and read this for us, says this: do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God, as an instrument of righteousness. So that's Paul's admonition. And I want us to observe a few things. So Paul says that we are to honor God with our bodies. So we know right off the bat that it is possible to honor God with your body. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we don't, and negatively, it means we don't use our body for sinful purposes. Sexual sin, gluttony, drunkenness, perversion, gossip. These are just a sampling of examples in ways that we sin with our body parts. And you'll notice that in that verse, the word instrument is used. And when Paul uses the word instrument, usually he's talking about instruments of war or weapons. So Paul uses that word normally in that way. So if we put that together, are in a spiritual war, and your body is supposed to be a means, a tool, a weapon for waging a war for godliness, for righteousness. This is why you have a body. You have a body so that you can glorify God in turning away from sin and choosing God because he's worth it. He's glorious. He's beautiful. So your mouth exists to praise God, not to gossip. Your body exists for your spouse, not for anyone else. Your eyes exist to behold what is pure, not what is filthy. Your stomach exists to fuel you for service, not to control you. So your body exists. It is intended as a tool, as a weapon, as an instrument for righteousness. That's what your body is supposed to be used for. And when you use your body in the way it's intended, you honor God. When you use your body in a way it's not intended, you dishonor God. So it was mentioned that I have 4 kids. My youngest is a girl. She's 5. And as far as I can tell, all the kids in here have really nicely groomed hair. We show up to church Sunday after Sunday. My kids, their hair, we just never get it right. We've just not gotten that down in 16 years of marriage. And my boys have long hair too. So everybody in my family, with the exception of probably me and my wife, just kind of shows up. And we've really been trying to get this down. So last Sunday, we said, Kate, my youngest, Kate, go get the spray and spray your hair so we can comb it. And there's this spray that's detangler spray. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like this spray, so you kind of skip on the showering and everybody's busy. So you spray your hair and then you can comb it out. So Kate runs into the other room, comes back, her hair is wet. I sprayed my hair, Daddy. And I realized very quickly she did not spray her hair with detangler. She sprayed her hair with my hairspray. So now her hair is not only a bird's nest, but it's stuck that way. So what's my point? Well, Detangler is the thing that's purposeful and good for combing your hair. Hairspray is not good. It's not intended for that purpose. And so when she used the hairspray for something it's not intended for, you know, that led to sort of a, in this case, funny but bad consequence. Well, when you use your body for purposes it's not intended, it leads to bad consequences in your life in a number of ways. So to the answer to question number one, what does it mean to honor God with our bodies, is that we honor God when we use our bodies for noble purposes, not sinful purposes. The purposes our bodies were intended for and not the purposes that serve our immediate gratification. Your body exists for God's glory, for righteous purposes. So, second question, why should you honor God with your body? Why should you? I mean, after all, isn't your body just going to die and then you'll get a new one at the resurrection? Why worry about it? I mean, I know a lot of people that this is kind of their attitude. I don't care what I eat or about my health. I don't care about any of those things because, you know, this world is passing away, brother, and I'm going to get a body fit for eternity, so I'm just not going to worry about my body right now. Well, what if you took that attitude with your car? My car is passing away. I'm not going to change the oil. What if you took that attitude with your finances? You know, money's burning anyway. Jesus is going to come back, burn this whole thing up, create a new heaven, a new earth. Just going to, you know, spend it freely. What if you took that attitude with your children? Oh, your body's passing away, kid. I don't need to take you to the doctor for your monthly checkup or whatever. Isn't that foolish to think that way? You see, the reality is, we do have an eternal perspective, but that should lead us to honor God in the things of this earth, even the temporary things, even the things that are passing away, because an eternal perspective gives value to the things that are temporary. So the first reason we should honor God with our bodies is that God made our bodies. Genesis 1:27 is a verse that tells us this. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you have a body because God created your body. It's not that we just randomly evolved. It's not just natural selection and random mutation. You have a body, male or female. Yeah, I know that's controversial. Male or disjunction, female, because God created you that way. God created you with a body. And so just the fact that he created Adam and Eve in his image with bodies tells us that having a body is good. You might not like your body, but it is good to have a body. And I think honoring God with your body really starts with recognizing God created you not as a Casper the Friendly Ghost spirit, but as an embodied person who has a responsibility to be a good steward of your money and your home and your children and your body. Now, sin has come into the world, and so we get sick, and so we die, and this is all a result of sin entering into the Garden of Eden. But before sin, God created them male and female with bodies. And so our bodies are not a curse. Even though we experience the curse, having a body is a blessing going back to creation, going back to Eden. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. So we're to honor God with our body. Why? Because he created us. Well, why else? Because Jesus died to redeem your body. That might be news to you. You might think, I thought this was a throwaway body. No, Jesus died not only to redeem your soul, Not just so that in the resurrection you could float on a cloud and play a harp and be sort of a disembodied spirit. Jesus died to redeem all of you, and you are a body and a soul. And so on the day when Jesus returns, I don't know all the sequencing. You can ask someone else to explain all of that. But as I read Revelation, there's going to be a return of Jesus and a resurrection of the dead, and we'll get new bodies. They'll be perfected bodies, but we will live for eternity in bodies. People will be able to notice us. They noticed Jesus when he rose from the dead. They'll be physical, but they'll be better. They'll be without sin. But Jesus died. It says right there, you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, you should not just think, I want to be loving, I want to be gracious, I want to be kind, I want to be forgiving. When you see Jesus in your mind, when you picture him sacrifice, being a sacrifice for your sins, you should think to yourself, I want to honor God with my body because you were purchased with a price. Well, what was that price? It was the blood of the Son of God. Is that a low price or a high price? It's a high price. It's in fact the highest price. So Psalm 139:14, the next verse I want to look at, is another helpful passage. It says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God. My soul knows it very well. And so the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And you know, the funny thing about glory is that when you're around something that is impressive, you just sort of forget what a work of art it is. I mean, I lived in the Bay Area for years, and when tourists go to the Bay Area, they see the Golden Gate Bridge, and they stop, and their mouths go aghast. Wow, that's amazing. They get out their pictures, they take selfies, all this sort of thing. But when you live in the Bay Area, guess how much attention you pay to the Golden Gate Bridge every day? You get it. Well, we have just become accustomed to living in these bodies that are amazingly, wonderfully designed by the Creator of the universe. Your body is composed of more atoms than there are stars in the galaxy. But you just take it for granted because you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes and you see. And you open your mouth and you breathe. And none of these things become precious until you start to lose them. And so maybe you've forgotten that you're to honor your God with your body because he did make you, because he did redeem you, and because your body is part of the way that he testifies to his glory here on earth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says something that, this is a verse you know, and this is really maybe a life verse for some people. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So God made your body, God redeemed your body, God set your body up to be a display of his glory, and also you are to glorify God in not just some things you do with your body, but in everything that you do with your body. So God cares what you eat and what you drink. That matters to God. And so we should honor God with our bodies because we're to honor God with everything. If you change oil for a living, you should change oil for the glory of God. If you stay at home and change diapers, you should change diapers for the glory of God. If you keep the balance sheet, you should do that for the glory of God. Whatever you do, the Bible says you should do it for the glory of God. And so we are to live in our bodies in a way that glorifies God. So let's ask the third question. How do we do that? Now we know what it means. Now we know why we do it. Now we should ask, how do we do it? How do we glorify God in our bodies? Well, let's look at Ephesians 5. It'll be on the screen. Ephesians 5:15-21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I just want to unpack this a little bit. There's a lot of practical wisdom about how to honor God with our bodies in this passage. So the first thing you notice in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So honoring God with your body means living wisely. Can we all agree there's just some things that aren't wise? There are just some things that are harmful. It's just harmful for you to eat things that you know are bad or in levels that are bad. It's just unwise. God has just wired us with a capacity for wisdom. You don't need a Bible verse that says, you know, thou shalt not eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's every night, right? It's just unwise. You don't need a Bible verse that says, thou shalt not dip tobacco. It's just not wise. It's just not wise. And so Paul says, walk, live, inhabit your body, do what you do, all to the glory of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means being wise. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing more practical than wisdom. If you need any proof of that, read the book of Proverbs. There's nothing more practical than wisdom. Number two, honoring God with your body involves using your time well. Notice Paul says in verse 16, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. We've got the second part of that verse down. The days are evil, brother. Well, amen. Are you using your time wisely? If you manage your time well, you're going to find time to get exercise. If you manage your time well, you're going to find time to prepare meals that are healthy. God hasn't shortchanged you on timing. I know all of us can think of a million excuses why we don't do things that we know we should do that are wise, and we almost always blame the clock. But Paul says, you've got the time you need. The problem is not in the amount of time God has given you. The problem is how we use the time God has given us. So honoring God with your body means using your time in a way that is productive. Number three, honoring God with your body involves avoiding things that are foolish. Avoiding things that are foolish. Therefore, verse 17, do not be foolish. And this is kind of like restating verse 15, only slightly more different. The body's not designed for certain foolish things. The body's not designed to go indefinitely without sleep. So if you are just running on fumes and caffeine and Red Bull, look, God worked for 6 days, and what did he do on the seventh? Did God, as an omnipotent being, need to rest? What do you think he's teaching us about how we should live? We are to rest. And when you don't rest, then Paul says that's foolish. That's an example of foolishness, I would say. Your body's not designed to go without sleep. And so we need to be wise. We need to avoid things that are just foolish. Number four, honoring God with your body also involves not being drunk with wine. Now I know I'm speaking at a Baptist church. You're like, move on, brother. We got this down. We don't get drunk with wine or beer or whatever, you know. No, but actually I think we missed the point when we make this about alcohol. Paul has something bigger in mind here. Let me ask a question. Why is it wrong to be drunk? I'm not asking you to respond. I just think about that for a minute. I mean, you've been told all your life it's wrong to be drunk, but why is it wrong to be drunk? Well, Paul explains that. It's wrong to be drunk because of the next statement. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That is debauchery. Or the word there literally means sinful excess. It's excess. Do not be drunk, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In the book of Acts, when people were filled with the Spirit, that means they were controlled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit does not mean laughing and rolling and barking like a dog like in some big tent revival circumstances. Being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit. And when you are drunk, you are not controlled by the Spirit. You are controlled by spirits. That's right. So Paul says, in this life, your body will either be controlled by the Spirit. You will be controlled. That's what filled means. Or you will be controlled by other things. It might not be wine. You might not ever get drunk with wine. You might not ever tasted wine. But that doesn't mean you're honoring what Paul is saying. Because aren't there other things we can be controlled by? Maybe food is controlling you. Food can be a powerful idol. Remember, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of, like, stew? Imagine. Well, we know food can be powerful. Maybe food is controlling you. Let me ask you some diagnostic questions to see if maybe you are being controlled by something other than the Spirit. And maybe it's not liquor, maybe it's food. It can be a lot of things. Where do you turn when you're sad to get happy? Where do you go when you're sad to get happy? I mean, how you answer that question is helpful in terms of diagnosing where your joy really is. Because where your joy is, that's where you go when you're sad to get happy. And it might not be to the bar, but it might be to the fridge. Well, let me flip that on its head. Where do you go when you're happy? To celebrate. Where do you go when you're happy to celebrate? When you're happy, what do you need to celebrate? If you talk to an alcoholic, one of the things they know about being an addict is they need to celebrate with liquor. So something good happens, and that's a trigger. They go right to the bar. Well, it can be food. It can be many different things. Where do you go when you're sad? Where do you turn when you're happy? Philippians 3:19, we won't read this on the screen. Philippians 3:19 says that of evil men, their God is their belly. Do you know that your belly can be your God? You can live to serve your belly. And so we're not to be enslaved to our appetites, not our sexual appetites, not our desire for money, not our desire for fame, not our desire for the right muscles or the right dress size or the right pants size. We are not to obsess for our joy or for our celebration with our bodies. Our bodies are a tool to glorify God through service, using it for the purposes it's intended. So these are some ways that we honor God with our bodies. Well, fourth question, where's the benefit? Where's the benefit? Maybe some of you are sort of pragmatic-minded people. What's in it for me? Maybe you're asking this question. Well, let me just start out by saying this. God cares about your joy. God cares more about your joy than you do. I promise you that. Do you know in the Bible we are commanded to rejoice? God eternally plots and plans for you to be eternally joyful. And how we live in our body affects our joy. Your joy should not ultimately be in the right body, that kind of thing. Your joy has to ultimately be in the Lord. But what is in it for you? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Now, this is what you call a subdued endorsement, a tempered endorsement. Paul is not saying, don't worry about physical exercise. Your body's wasting away. It's no big deal. Neither is Paul saying you should be in the gym every day to have the body like the cover on the magazine. You see, it would be a sin to deny and ignore your body, and it would be a sin to treat your body like a god. Excess is a sin and denial is a sin. Does that make sense? And in the middle, wisdom, scripture, is that bodily training is of some value. Honoring God with your body is of some value. Let me just explain three ways it's of some value. Three ways. Number one, it's of value because it's an example. People are looking at you. If kids see mom and dad setting an example of eating in moderation, practicing self-control, not leaning on food to medicate, they'll learn those habits from mom and dad. Or they'll learn whatever other habits they're seeing from mom and dad. And so if we will honor God in our bodies, we get the value of setting a good example for our children or for our coworkers or whoever it is in your life that God has set up for you to be a witness to. If they see dad taking the initiative to be self-controlled and to be in shape, not that he's trying to be the biggest guy on the block, but he's trying to honor the Lord with his body, your kids will see that and understand what it looks like to be a godly man and not just sing praise songs, but use your body as an instrument of service, which means being in reasonable shape. So number one, there's value in the example. Number two, there's value in the opportunity. Honoring God with your body is of value because just based on wisdom, we want to have as much opportunity to serve as possible. And you will not be able to optimize your service if you deny your body, you're out of energy, and you simply cannot do for others the kinds of things that you would like to do. All of us have heard stories of people that say, you know, I'm just too tired to do that. I just don't have the energy to do that. And sometimes those are just personal genetic reasons that have nothing to do with doing anything wrong. So don't hear me saying anybody's necessarily doing anything wrong. But the reality is sometimes we are living in ways that are unhealthy, and that does limit our service opportunities because of the foolish decisions we're making. When I finished my PhD program, I was 50 pounds overweight. All that fried. Thank you, Texas. Right. You know they have a thing in Texas called Texas toast. It's just really indulgent, big, thick toast with butter. It's delicious. So I was 50 pounds overweight. I went to see the doctor. I just had a cold. And it was the first time in my life a younger female doctor was examining me. So she says, take off your shirt. And I mean, for the first time in a doctor's office, I'm kind of like, oh boy, I don't really want to do this. And she just said in a very calm voice, she said, okay, well, you need to lose weight. And something triggered in that moment. I just thought, I don't ever want to hear that from a doctor again. That just, something triggered in me. But one of the things I didn't even realize was when I lost that 50 pounds just through just basic diet and exercise, wasn't anything faddish or fancy, is I realized how much more energy I had. And I realized that, you know, I was able to serve in ways I couldn't serve previously because I was just giving that energy away through unwise living. So honoring God with your body sets an example. It provides opportunities. And lastly, it just pleases God. It just pleases God. It pleases God when you make wise decisions. It pleases God when you manage your time well and you get some exercise. It pleases God when you find time to rest. It pleases God when you turn off the TV or the artificial light and just allow yourself to go to sleep. It pleases God when you eat food that you know is better for you than other food. These things just please God. So whatever else may come of them or not come of them, look, you can leave here today and use your body to honor God, and you may never know what else happens from it, but you will know that your Heavenly Father is pleased because you're using your body for the purpose it was intended. So let me just summarize this way, okay? God made you. God loves you. And you exist for however long on this earth for the purpose of glorifying God. That is the reason you're here. And the minute God has run out of his plan for your life, you will die. And I'm not here to tell you if you exercise and eat right, you'll live longer than if you don't. Because the reality is, I got relatives that smoke and drink every day and they live into their 90s. And I got relatives that are healthy that drop dead for who knows why. I'm just here to tell you that however long you have, and I don't know and you don't have, if you will live in a way to honor God with your body, it will bring glory to God and it will maximize your example and your service. And I think it'll also bring you joy in the sense that you are living in ways that God intended. So let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are not slaves to our appetites. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not in this culture's rat race for beauty. But God, we do want to be good stewards. And so I pray that you would take this message and encourage your people to make some decisions, share those decisions, get accountability, whatever they need to do to honor you with their mind, with their soul, with their heart, and with their strength, with their body. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.